Hello, I'm Laura Castleton, U.S. Head of Portfolio Construction and Strategy at Janus Henderson Investors. Is a brighter future possible? At Janus Henderson, we think it is. For 90 years, we've worked to help clients achieve superior financial outcomes and fulfill our purpose of investing in a brighter future together. We know that this means our thinking and our investments are helping to shape millions of brighter futures for the next 90 years and beyond. To learn more, go to janushenderson.com.
Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC Squawk on the Street. Good Monday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber at the New York Stock Exchange. Starting the month of August on the right foot, futures solid on plenty of news. Shanghai closes up 2%, best day since May. We've got an infrastructure bill, big M&A day, and another crowded week of earnings. Our roadmap begins with a new month, but stocks are going to look to pick up where they left off. S&P's coming off six straight winning months.
Plus, it is Square's biggest ever acquisition. The company is buying Australia's Afterpay. It's a $29 billion all-stock transaction as the buy now, pay later trend takes off.
And he's an award-winning journalist, our co-host, and not only a past champion, but this week's host of Jeopardy. Yes, who is David Faber?
Yes, it's finally here. Yeah. We taped it some time ago, but very excited for my five episodes. I hope everybody out there will watch.
Big deal.
Such an exciting moment.
It's a very big deal.
You know, hopefully the contestants thought I did okay, because that's the most important thing. It's actually making the game work for them.
Yes. Now, have you been able to see any of your completed? It'll be new
Not
to you,
thing.
Too.
Not a thing.
No?
Yeah, they are, as you might imagine, they are very close. This is all. They just released this one picture of me with Mike Richards, the great EP there, you know, and I had the clues, and he kept giving me pep talks.
Can you tell us who won, please?
No, I can't. Yeah, I can't do that. It's an interesting week. I think that's all, but I guess that's a good clue. But
Is it an interesting week?
Yeah, it's always interesting
week,
right?
Oh,
yeah.
Wasted.
Yes, always.
What is a week? Never mind.
Well, it was obviously a lifetime experience and one that I'll never forget. And looking forward to actually watching it myself because, to your point, they, you know, for obvious reasons, don't let anybody know anything.
Yeah, very protective. We want to implore our viewers to watch, because how great would it be if David Stint blew every other guest host away, ratings-wise? Would that be great?
Yes, but then he'd leave.
Up against the Olympics in August. But, yeah, we're going to do
fine.
It. Listen, at least we've got overlap. We have a really smart audience, and so does Jeopardy.
Yes.
So at least we got that going for us.
I would think
there is some significant overlap in our two audiences.
My family's watched it, I don't know, how many years? 30 years? I mean, this is just a staple in people's homes. And you're in people's homes.
Yep.
And it's just one of the, I'd say, it is iconic. And congratulations. Really thrilled for you.
Thanks.
I was telling my wife, this is a, you know, David's got this week. And, you know, everyone I talked to said it's a really big deal. Most people just like, hey, you know, so-and-so's doing what? Yeah. No, this big deal.
Yeah, and maybe as we get our first look at it tonight and tomorrow, you can talk a little bit more about the challenges of hosting, because I know there's some intricacies in terms of prep and the live and taped aspect of it.
Without a doubt.
Difficult.
As you know, we know obviously what we're doing here pretty well, and you've been put in any number of different situations, but it was unique, very unique, and not a lot of time to sort of adjust and figure it all out, but I tried. I tried my best, and hopefully the viewers won't be disappointed.
We can't wait.
Thanks.
Do you change after each one?
After every one.
Really?
In fact, I think I wore
so
this
cool.
tie. I think that's in one of them. But
that is so cool.
Change for each one.
Yeah. Check your local listings, but make sure you watch tonight. Meanwhile, markets are entering August on the heels of the positive July for stocks. S&P, as we said, up 6 months in a row, Jim. As Ryan Detrick of LPL said this morning, that's usually a pretty good indicator of where you're going to wind up a year from now.
Yes. I think August has been a rocky month for a lot of different times. And remember, things get thinner. I like the fact that the month's starting right. I mean, I think it's a good sign. China's not bringing us down this time. I don't see – this is not a key week for earnings. It's not a bad week. But we had a lot of the damaging ones, and we came through okay. Like Caterpillar was not great.
Yeah.
Because what you're having is that it's now obvious. The raw costs really are hurting people, and there's just only so much room. But if you don't have a raw cost problem, like the financials, you're in great shape.
And yet it's funny because we have had any number of CEOs come on and industries across the board talk about supply chain issues, talk about typically one of a key commodity that's gone up in price. Some we know have come right. down sharply as well. Lumber certainly is right. one we would think of. And wage inflation. And yet there does seem to be a belief that this is, and you've been arguing this for quite some time, going to be transitory. And the markets yes. seem to fully believe that's the case.
Well, look, there's still plenty of reason to stay at home. Now with the Delta variant, there's even more of a reason to not try to find a job. You want to hunker down? I don't blame anyone. I mean, when I listen to Dr. Fauci, you know, they do put the fear of God in.
You think really, even with the benefits running out, you think that people are going to not pursue employment as aggressively as they might otherwise?
I guess what I'm saying is I agree with what Chairman Powell said, which is that it's still too early. Let's see what happens. Look, the Delta variant is one that we all found ourselves calling our doctors and saying, if we have Moderna, can we take a booster? If we have J&J, must we take a booster? And there's certainly a feeling from Provincetown that where it was a terrible outbreak that you're not protected. And I went back to mask.
Inside.
Inside. Absolutely. It's just too dicey. I could not believe I had the mask on again. Yeah. Like that Moderna didn't do anything.
Although Gottlieb on Squawk today talking about the rate of transfer in some southern states starting to either stabilize or in the case of Tennessee, go lower. I see IHME, who's done a lot of good modeling work since the beginning, is saying their base case is a peak on August 14th.
Holy cow. Well, this is obviously herd immunity the bad way. I still don't understand. Dave, maybe you can answer this for me. We do have a lot of monoclonal antibodies that do work. So that my doctor said, if you get sick, we're just going to give you the monoclonal.
We do. Regeneron, of course,
yes.
being the key one.
But why is that not?
They need to be infused, so you need to go to the hospital to have that done some sort of setting where that can take place.
You can do it at home.
You can?
Yeah.
Okay. You're right,
I'll give you my guy.
You're right. But, you know, it needs to be done at a certain point, I think, to be most effective.
Right.
We hope that Gottlieb, who I think has been the best on this, and I think you agree, is correct in talking about maybe we're closer to a peak than we think. That said, I also am still focused on both the company that he's on the board of, Pfizer, and, of course, Merck, which both have these antivirals in late-stage trials that would be taken early in the onset that conceivably would greatly minimize the impact if you knew you had COVID.
Okay. But my wife, Lisa, took the J&J.
Oral antivirals,
took
by the
J&J.
Way.
Going for booster.
Well, that, you know, J&J is a little more concerning. And by the way, even the Provincetown, I mean, there's the people who went to the hospital there, that was pretty, I think it was almost all of them were J&J.
Right. And the issues in the baseball, mostly J&J. But let's just make it clear that you're still, no one's dying if they have the J&J. It's just that my doctor just says, listen, you got to, J&J, go get a booster. I think the issue is, can you go to Walgreens and say, look, I had J&J? What are they going to say?
Well, I did notice TSA passed through 2.25 million passengers yesterday, another post-COVID high.
Wow.
And to your earlier point about Fauci, who talked over the weekend about the fact that although Delta may be a concern, probably not likely to bring new lockdowns. Here's what he said.
I don't think we're going to see lockdowns. I think we have enough of the percentage of people in the country, not enough to crush the outbreak, but I believe enough to not allow us to get into the situation we were in last winter. But things are going to get worse. If you look at the acceleration of the number of cases, the 7-day average has gone up substantially. We're looking to some pain and suffering in the future because we're seeing the cases go up, which is the reason why we keep saying over and over again, the solution to this is get vaccinated, and this would not be happening.
And to that point, Friday, the companies mandating vaccines for workers, Google, Facebook, Disney, Uber, Lyft, and a few others too.
This is the beginning, and then when you get Pfizer, hopefully that the FDA, which has been very secretive, goes and says, listen, Pfizer is no longer emergency, it's regular, then I think that you'll see the big banks just say, okay, you're done. You have to do it. And you'll see the big industrials. You'll certainly see healthcare.
It will happen. They will. What you will say is you'll mandate vaccines for people who want to come to the office.
Right.
And then over time, they will also basically say, listen, if you're not showing up in the office, we have an issue. Yeah. They're not going to say you get fired if you don't get the vaccine, at least not at first.
No,
but that will eventually, as hopefully we all hope this subsides yet again and we get back to sort of really being
But we need to get rid of the voluntary. Like, you know, I went to the supermarket last night. David, they serve, you buy stuff there. And it's a credit card. You can use a credit card.
I try not to.
Right. And it says it says masks only if you haven't been vaccinated. And there's like 10 people walking around with a mask. And I'm saying to myself, really? I mean, are they kidding me? Are you in Jersey?
Well, at least they're wearing the mask.
Well, that's why I'm wearing the mask, because it's like, how about if they take off their mask? How about if they say, listen, I can't hear you. Take off your mask. No. I'm not doing that. Just to order cold cuts? I'm not dying for cold cuts.
But you're not going to die.
No, okay, I'm not getting sick for cold cuts.
You're probably not even going to get sick.
All right, I'll be asymptomatic for cold cuts.
Well, speaking of going to the store, buying stuff, Square is looking to capitalize on buy now, pay later trends. The company's agreeing to buy Australia's Afterpay, $29 billion in stock. We're going to talk to the CFO and the Afterpay co-CEO later on this hour. Jim, it's a big deal.
Huge. And I've got to tell you, Square can do no wrong in the eyes of the analysts. This is a stock deal. It's gigantic. And Square also reported a somewhat noisy quarter that people are saying is fantastic. David, in the M&A world, have you ever seen someone offer this much stock and it's possible that it'll actually be up?
Yes, it can happen. Jim, I'll rely on you to tell me sort of characterize the quarter itself.
But they have great growth.
You're
great
right.
Growth.
I mean, watching the stock sort of hang in there, let's call it down 1% maybe, is going to be important for them. As you said, it's an all-stock deal. It's about a 30% premium. It is an Australian company, $29 billion. Reminiscent yet again of sort of that late 90s, early 2000 period that I've referenced a number of times where you get these huge numbers because of the huge multiples.
Right.
By the way, Afterpay trades at a higher multiple than Square does.
Right.
But they're willing to take what will ultimately be about 18.5% ownership, so to speak, for their shareholders of the combined company.
Yes. And here's this kind of, this is David speaking of 1999, 2000. JMP puts out a piece that says Square, no premium looks too high for buy now, pay later. No premium. So if they paid to what, doubles? Is that all right?
There's just nothing that you could pay that wouldn't justify paying.
It's like you could go in and say, listen, Square app, the Cash App's not being used. It's like, okay, well, it will be used.
But it does speak to the enormous size of Square and what's been its incredible growth, $112, $113 billion market value as we start trading today for this company. And obviously going to be adding another $29 billion as they issue that stock if and when they close. A couple of interesting thoughts here. I mean, you have two deals this morning. You have Parker Hannifin buying a UK-based defense company as well.
Dave Meggett?
Yeah, Meggett.
Right, right.
Dave Meggett. Remember him. He was great. And it does make you wonder about U.S. antitrust. I mean, both of the Afterpay does not have a large market here.
Right.
This mega deal, obviously, Parker Hannifin, are U.S. companies looking abroad because they do feel, as at least certainly in any deal of any size, it's going to get such a close antitrust look that at the very least it will take a very long time
if
they
get
through.
And what do you
hear about KSU? Well, it's all about the voting trust on KSU.
Really?
Yeah, the STB's vote on the voting trust, that's where we need to keep people focused. And if they can delay the vote, the shareholder vote, till after that, then that sort of will make a lot of
KSU
sense.
Canadian,
yeah, that's actually Canadian coming for U.S. But
right.
But that's a powerful potential trend here as U.S. companies looking abroad because they do feel like anything in the U.S. market is going to get so much scrutiny. Now, obviously, U.S. antitrust regulators look at all these deals, but the companies being purchased do not have large market shares in this country.
Not to mention, you talk about premium, that mega deals with 71% premium.
I was shocked at how high. Now, particularly how bad, aerospace isn't that good, but I should be careful there because Airbus is good. Boeing.
It says they've been transforming their business over the last 4 years through what is a focused strategy, Jim.
They've been
streamlining their portfolio.
They've been
investing in new technologies, and they've been growing through customer-aligned divisions. So,
any best practices in there?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the MLGE.
Yeah.
Hey, GE, by the way, split. So
yes.
People should not think that it went there over now. Wow.
Went from 12 to 100.
Colt is something. He got that big bonus now. Right? Did he say if he gets to 4 years? I mean, what was his bonus?
They split adjust him, too.
Yes. In fact, GE will begin trading on a post-split basis beginning today. Take a look at futures. Got a bunch of calls today on some consumer names, Levi's, Estee Lauder, Under Armour. And just wait till you see what Jim and David have planned for the Mad Dash. We're back in a minute.
At the UPS Store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good.
The UPS Store. Be unstoppable. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. Come in today to get your holiday goodies there on time.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration. Our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
First trading day of the month. Futures have been pretty solid here after a good overnight in Asia and Europe following suit as well. When we come back, a special Jeopardy-inspired edition of the Mad Dash ahead of David's first episode as guest host of the iconic show, which airs tonight. More Squawk on the Street in a moment.
Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until...
The Singapore presentation is at
3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
That's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
And now, here is this week's host of Jeopardy, David Faber.
That was actually Johnny Gilbert. You like that?
No, I'm scared.
You are? Yeah. You should be.
No, I'm scared.
You should be because you've got to make some decisions here.
This is not...
Let's go to the board.
Oh.
Let's go to the board.
Okay.
All right, we've got Fang, our categories, work from home, reopening, crypto, and Kramer's Choice. Jim, you're in control.
Kramer's Choice for 400.
All right, and the clue is this underperforming apparel company, which reports this week, was named a fresh pick today.
What is Under Armour?
Correct. Well done.
Okay. Kramer's Choice. Oh, no, we can't do it. We're not ready. All right. Now, Dave, this is a very interesting call because this is a stock that has underperformed Nike rather radically by 40%.
Yeah.
And Baird's making a point, which is that this is a great trading call, which is why I like it, because we'll find out very quickly, like you in Jeopardy, we will know whether this one's the right one or not. I actually like it because I think that people have forgotten Under Armour. They just kind of said, you know what? It's never going to catch up again. I think that's wrong. Baltimore base coming back.
But it's had a very good year.
Yeah, but
the stock, maybe.
Looking for $30 rather quickly. I'll take that. I mean, that's a 50% move. So I think people are underestimating how important this call is. I think obviously when you do a call the day before, you better be right. And yeah. I think the confidence in this piece is very strong.
You do?
Yeah, I do. Now, you don't usually go over it on Jeopardy, like that kind of thing, right? Like once you know, say, Jim, tell me why you like it.
No, you move on very quickly.
Very quickly.
Yes. In fact, now, we would be on to, you had control, we might be on to Fang or we might be on to crypto.
And when
we'd be deep in. You got to keep it going.
Yeah, but when you're like at Final Jeopardy, if I put like $1, do you have to very quickly say, let's see, Kramer's got it.
There, thankfully, there are commercial breaks, and you can take a little so we can figure some things out before Final
but there
Jeopardy.
There have to be things that are
in
dangerous.
In terms of at least understanding exactly where you'll be based on what you're betting.
But don't you think there are moments
where
being host is not easy?
No. There are plenty of them, certainly when it's new.
Right.
Certainly when it's new. We're going to do this all week, though. And I love the category, so, you know, you keep picking.
Well, you know, I'm just all week, David, you're going to be shocked and surprised at how much I care about you running Jeopardy.
I appreciate that.
Now, there are other people who have run it, David, candidly. Low bar.
Low bar, you think?
Low bar versus
there have been some
you.
Very good ones. There have been some
very good guesses. No, there. You are going to be the best.
Oh my,
Carl, is he going to be the best?
Yes.
I mean, are you kidding me?
Set me up. I don't think so.
Will you stay with me? Will you stay with us even
always.
If you're the best ever?
Always.
All right.
Always. And you don't have to worry.
Look at that.
You don't have to worry. I don't know if it's going to be the quarterback or the champion, but...
Yeah, the quarterback signed.
It's not going to be this guy.
The quarterback signed.
Except for these 5 days. We'll be right back.
Jim mentioned Under Armour earlier in the half hour. Got a bunch of other calls regarding consumer names. DB does cut Estee Lauder to hold, looking at 322, although Stiefel initiates Levi at a buy.
Yeah,
looking at a multi-year cycle in denim.
I think there is a the Levi. I love the Levi Strauss because it's not even up since they reported that amazing quarter. So you do get that quarter. The denim... the more I look at this denim supercycle, and I know that supercycle is kind of a dangerous term, but it is early, and Levi Strauss, Chip Berg, did a great job when we had him on, so I think this is a good call. I do not like the Estee Lauder call. My travel trust owns it. This is one where Fabrizio Freda has confounded the analysts. Just keep, we look at that, and he calls it a valuation. I mean, you know what, valuation has not been a good reason to sell anything in this
market. Well, what didn't you like about the call, though?
Well, it's just it's up too much, and they don't think it's going to say anything special. Well, and the last quarter, by the way, stock did get clobbered.
Yeah.
So he is getting ahead of that. Maybe, and this is Deutsche Bank, maybe with the stock up 25%, the rationale could be, you know what?
Man.
It gets hammered, and maybe I'll upgrade.
I mean, to your point, listen, you've liked EL for a long time.
Well,
you've
been right.
You've been absolutely, and their business in China has been important. I mean, take
yes.
a look. Do we have a 5-year? Because that does put it in better perspective, I think, in terms of what he's been able to accomplish there.
Well, he got there are some – wow.
Yeah,
there's some
bad.
Trends here that are operating well. When people wear masks, they get – their skin is very hard to clean. He's got the best cleaning products. And then when they're on Zoom, you have to make yourself up. And now you're going out, and you'll be buying the best. And Estee Lauder is the best. And I think just the kind of a they're kind of in a way a COVID winner, except for the fact that they need travel. And when you talk about 2.2, they are duty free, and they also huge in China. So yes, I mean we can't. This is if you think the travel is going to slow down, duty free slows down, that will hurt their earnings.
Yeah. Speaking of that, we are going to get a lot more clues over the next few days. Marriott, Expedia, right?
I think
Booking Holdings is going to post this week. We're going to find out if there's been any kind of deceleration in travel, leisure or otherwise.
I'd be surprised. Let me tell you why I think there won't be. I think people are very hopeful about Delta. I think that those of us who are scared of Delta, they tend to be people who watch the news and say, "You listen, I'm listening to the warnings." But the people who don't want to get the vaccine, they don't really care what Fauci says. They'll travel. They'll do whatever they want. They don't care about infecting you. The hell are you? I mean, besides the Jeopardy host for a week.
I think you're right. That's probably true.
I mean,
that's probably
serious.
More or less a true statement.
Or maybe they're just waiting for full approval, which the Journal over the weekend
right.
said
some are.
Could come in September. Their FDA is starting to set aside other work
right.
to get this done quicker.
Well, I think all of us are kind of confused. They rushed the Alzheimer's, which the panel recommended against. And here we've got a billion people have tried this, and they still don't get approval. What is that, David?
I don't know. You know, the Biogen drug that you point to was very interesting, if I could say that. And that stock has come off, by the way, in part because there are many doctors who are not going to use it. There are many hospitals that are not going to, you know, and it's insurance companies, I should say, that won't pay for it, given that very mixed message we got from the FDA going against the advisory panel. We all want something for Alzheimer's. There's no doubt about that. Whether it's effective.
I do a lot of stuff with the American brain, yeah, with migraines, also the Brain Society. They don't see more than a couple of months. But there are some people who say, listen, I like a couple months. And by the way, no one thinks it works once you have it. You got to take it well before. And you have it without knowing it for a very long time. So I get why the panel is against it. I don't get why the FDA was in favor of it. And yet they still won't do this.
Here's a look at the opening bell. Pretty good breadth here at the Open. At the big board, it is GXO Logistics celebrating a spinoff from XPO Logistics. And at the NASDAQ, it's Rover Group, an online marketplace for pet care, celebrating a listing via SPAC.
Logistics, I never thought of that. It's kind of like plastics.
It's like plastics. Logistics, son. They have a cardboard cutout up there, too.
No, Brad Jacobs. From XPO.
Yeah.
And then felt like it wasn't getting its valuation. So
uh-oh,
he spun
they're
this
moving
off.
The cardboard cutout out. They turned him around now. Now he looks, that looks strange. they're taking pictures the other way. Okay.
But suffice it to say that both can be winners. I think this is one of the few, I had these guys on, one of the few companies where people want a logistics play. I mean, Ryder has logistics. But they also want to play XPO. Now, you see these XPO trucks all over the place. I mean, that's a great online, you know, commerce company. And online commerce hasn't stopped.
Definitely not, even though after Amazon. The concerns about the UPS quarter, which we talked a bit about last couple of weeks.
And Amazon, people didn't like Amazon.
Yeah, we got another independent research today. Cuts, they go to 4,100. They weren't 4,500 on Amazon. That's been a talker. We're back above 35K, though, Jim. And I wonder if you think the harsh lessons of August and September of recent years are going to apply.
I think they will.
You do?
Yeah. You know, I mean, all of us are pretty, there won't be a shutdown. All of us are pretty exhausted, though. How many people called their doctors? I mean, I keep coming back to.
I'm coming back to the Delta variant over and over again.
Why not?
Okay, I'm just saying.
Are you immune? I didn't know you were immune.
I'm not immune.
Of course
clearly,
not.
I'm vaccinated, obviously.
That
I expect that I'm not going
variant.
To get particularly sick if I even get it at all, because, frankly, I still have a very good chance of not getting it.
Not to mention the rollover in the UK, which was written about by JP Morgan on Friday. There seems to be this sort of 45 to 50 day curve in India, in the UK, hopefully
incredible
here.
Incredible in India. Yeah. Incredible. So, I mean, there is great hope, but I'm with Jay Powell. A couple of weeks. Let's give him 3 weeks, and I'll feel better. 3 weeks from now.
Okay.
And I will not wear this, okay? 3 weeks is KN95.
Got it.
3 weeks from now, my KN95 is on.
I saw you ordered a bunch on Thursday.
I ordered 100.
On Amazon.
Yeah. I ordered 100. Why not?
No problem getting it? There's enough?
Came the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like, maybe that's why Fauci said, remember they like didn't have enough, so they kind of told you it didn't matter. That mixed message
that
really
was,
killed
that
how many
the
people.
That was the CDC, and that was not good.
Oh, the CDC. They're fabulous.
Yeah, they've been.
Although,
Gottlieb
made the great point this morning that the CDC's, their mission has never been to issue quick guidance.
No, right.
Their mission has been to assemble a ton of data and then make a call over the long term. So they're being asked to do things that are sort of antithetical to their culture.
Well, I think we're being, well, yeah, but so's the illness.
Right.
I mean, you know, we can say, listen, you keep your way you do things, or we can say, you know, this is our first pandemic, so let's get on the case. Let's issue some things that would make it so that there'd be fewer people who die.
Right.
Wait, okay.
I'm looking at Square
mostly.
Because, you know, you made this point earlier.
David, there's no price.
Square is up.
You got to be kidding me.
It's up nicely.
Oh, they could have bought anything.
We're going to be talking to
it's
the CFO.
It's up nicely.
But it's up 3.5%.
Look, when I heard about it, I was very excited about the deal. I did ask them why not buy a firm.
And certainly what you want to see when you are both selling your company to them for stock and when you're a current investor in Square. Given it's an all-stock transaction worth roughly $29 billion and now worth a little more than 3% more than $29 billion. And, in fact, those guests are ready. Should we just get started with
I think
with
we should go right
Jim?
To it.
All right, let's
you
do
know,
it.
Amrita Ahuja's system. Major acquisition news. Square has agreed to an all-stock deal, usually weighs a stock of $29 billion. But no, not this time. Joining us now is Amrita Ahuja, who has been on Mad Money many times, Chief Financial Officer at Square, and Nick Molnar, Afterpay co-founder and CEO. Congratulations to you both. I mean, a lot of people worried that the stock would be down. So, Amrita, let me ask you point blank. What about this deal has you and probably Wall Street so excited about? Because don't we have a lot of buy now, pay laters? Is it crowded?
Thanks so much for having us on today. We're so excited to talk about this transaction, which brings together two of the fastest growing fintech companies globally. Buy Now, Pay Later is an incredibly attractive space going after a $10 trillion online payments industry, where we're about 2% penetrated today from a Buy Now, Pay Later perspective. But we're seeing those consumer sentiment shifts towards transparent borrowing opportunities like buy now, pay later, and with merchants who are looking for that omni-channel experience to serve buyers across channels, whether in person or online, through this means. And with Afterpay, we have the opportunity to strengthen and closely connect our seller ecosystem, which serves millions of merchants, and Cash App, which serves 70 million active consumers on an annual basis. Together, we can create an even more powerful commerce platform connecting the two.
Okay, let me go to Nick Amrita. Nick, why did you want to sell? The growth here was absolutely incredible. Why do you need to cash out now?
Yeah, look, thank you for having me. From our perspective, you know, this all-stock deal, you know, represents a huge excitement for us on the long-term, you know, prospects. So, you know, when you think about the merchant side of the equation with Cash App with Square's seller business, you have millions of retailers on one side and you have 70 million annual active consumers on the Cash App side of the equation. So, you know, to think about the inflection point of where we are in our growth curve right now, which, as you say, we're growing still very strongly off a really large base, it's an incredible opportunity for us to expand, particularly in the US, where we've only been for 3 years. But, you know, it's already contributing 50% of our total sales volume.
So, simply put, you saw this as a better opportunity than staying an independent company.
From our perspective, we've been really fortunate with the growth that's occurred over, you know, the last many years. I mean, for perspective, we launched in the US just 3 years ago, and within after 2 and a bit years, we processed over, you know, $1 billion in the month of volume. So, you know, last financial year, we on a constant currency basis grew 170%+ year on year in North America. I just believe this opportunity for buy now, pay later at Amrita. Grounded on the same mission and values to accelerate that growth curve. It's an amazing opportunity for us.
Amrita, you know, when I look at Square, I wonder in terms of your competition against banks, in sort of what had been some traditional lines of their business and others, obviously, that you've created. Are you or should you be considered in any way something that should be regulated like a bank?
You know, we always work closely with our regulators. And as you know, we have a charter for a bank, which we just opened a few months ago, which is the subsidiary of Square called Square Financial Services. But the rest of Square works across partners, across the ecosystem. And in fact, with Afterpay, what we're seeing here is customers using their own money to make purchases over time in a way that Afterpay can responsibly finance with 15 turns in a year from either their own balance sheet or from financing warehouses. And so we see a real opportunity to enable in, you know, the next gen consumer that's looking for different ways. And in this experience, an interest-free way of expanding the purchase potential. What that ends up doing is merchants pay for the Afterpay experience, but they get higher average order volumes. They get greater conversion. They get greater frequency and lower returns. And they get a marketing channel from Afterpay, which is sending on average 1 million leads a day to merchants, which is ultimately helping those merchants grow their business. And that's what Square is all about, helping our customers grow their business.
Okay, I mean, we all know a competitor, Affirm. We've had Max Levchin on. Affirm doing quite well. It's less expensive in terms of dollar amount than Afterpay. Why did you not buy Affirm?
So there's a couple of reasons that we think Afterpay is the right partner for Square. First, it's high growth and it's accretive to Square's growth. It's rare for Square, which is growing at 91% in Q2, our highest growth quarter as a public company, to find another company that at scale is accretive to our growth. And if you look on an LTM basis, Square grew our gross profit 71% year over year. Afterpay grew theirs 96% year over year. Second, we see this business model, which is interest-free via Afterpay, to be better suited to our view and our purpose of economic empowerment. We see a more complementary merchant base, which enables higher frequency purchases across the retail and beauty categories that Afterpay serves. And we see a global footprint, with Afterpay serving 50% of their gross merchant volumes in the U.S. and 50% outside of the U.S., key areas that Square wants to continue to grow. And then, you know, most importantly, we see Nick and Ant, the two co-founders and entrepreneurs who lead Afterpay and will be joining Square, who are culturally aligned with our mission, and we can't wait to work together.
Yeah, I was curious about that, Nick. You just heard Amrita say you're culturally aligned. What does that mean?
Look, as we've gotten to know the Square leadership team, it's become imminently apparent how entrepreneurial-led the team is. We're grounded on the same vision, you know, with Square being around economic empowerment and Afterpay around fairness and financial freedom for all. And our teams, you know, throughout the whole organizations, you know, live those values every single day. So as we've gotten to know each other over recent times, it became really clear that, you know, not only were our strategies aligned, but there was just really clear alignment of purpose and values. And to me, that's ultimately the foundation that, you know, achieves our long-term strategy and our long-term objectives.
Okay, Nick, just explain to me. Let's say I miss a payment. There's a fee. How much is the fee? And what happens if I miss a second payment?
Yeah, so from an Afterpay perspective, the moment you miss your first transaction, we actually disable your account, so you can't keep shopping until you pay that late payment back. So fundamentally the opposite of a, you know, consumer credit company, where if 100% of people pay back a credit card on time, the industry simply doesn't work. We've taken the opposite approach. Our late fees vary state by state, and, you know, in many instances actually have a grace period as well. So it's good business for us to not earn late fee revenue. And income earned from the consumers, you know, is the opposite of a consumer finance company, being about, you know, 90% earned from the merchant and approximately 10% from the consumer. So it's fundamentally the opposite of, you know, how traditional finance has worked in the past.
Amrita, I know I was talking to JP Morgan this morning. They have buy now, pay later. They kind of have it. They have, I guess they haven't really promoted it. I'm sure if somebody wants it, it'd be given to them. But they are heavily regulated, and I think that they always have the regulators in mind before they do anything. Don't you? I mean, it's okay for you to say it. You've got a big advantage. Is it an unfair advantage? I'm sure you don't say so. But when you look at what you're doing, I mean, do you want to crush the J.P. Morgans and the Wells Fargos?
Look, this is a competitive space, one in which we bring with Afterpay two complementary sets of assets. And one in which we're just focused on providing greater choice for our customers, whether it's merchants or consumers. We think we will have a differentiated offering. We believe Afterpay today has a differentiated offering because they not only have relationships with 100,000 enterprise merchants, but they have relationships with 16 million consumers around the world. And that ability to drive inflow of customers from their consumer ecosystem into merchants is ultimately what's valuable to the merchant. And their brand that they've developed over the years is very popular amongst Gen Z and millennials, similar to Square. So we see some real potential overlap and synergy as we think about combining our businesses together.
Well, I mean, you got the Cash App, you have the millennials. I understand why the stock is up. I want to thank you, Amrita and Nick. Always great to see you. Congratulations.
Thanks so much.
Cool.
Fantastic. One thing we didn't touch on was Square's ongoing strategy regarding crypto, which has actually been raised a few times in the context of the infrastructure bill.
Right. And yes, the infrastructure bill is very interesting. I call that up because they want your 1099. I thought a lot of people, look, why do you need it if it's a currency? The answer is they may not view it as a currency. Capital gain.
That is a key area of contention.
I didn't view it when I did it, took the gain. I thought I had it.
So you were done
sharing it with the government.
Why shouldn't you share it with the government?
Because I did it without thinking that I wouldn't be sharing it with the government.
Well, that's why Robert Frank this morning said we're coming up on $1 trillion now on uncollected taxes.
Yeah. That's kind of hoping that this
now you're talking some real numbers.
It's true.
Yes.
By the way, Square up 7.5%.
Well, and look, Square could pay. Man, they could have paid double, David, and it would be up what? We look at these charm stocks. Now, I go to J.P. Morgan. Yes, they do have buy now, pay later. But they've never emphasized it. But the millennials, the millennials crave anything squared up. The cash. My kids use a Cash App. They think it's like the greatest thing in history. What? It's just a Cash App.
Let's get to Santelli, by the way, who's got manufacturing PMI. Hey, Rick.
Hi, Carl. Yes, markets manufacturing PMI is a July final, Carl, which means we take 63.1 and we now replace it with the final read, which is 63.4. So an improvement of 0.3. This is indeed a post-COVID high. Interest rates are near unchanged, slightly lower yields despite the strong opening in equities, construction spending in ISM yet to come. And Squawk on the Street will return after these messages.
Walt Disney's Jungle Cruise debuting with a better-than-expected 34.2 million domestic this weekend, an additional 27 million international, 30 million in paid streaming on Disney Plus. The film did secure a total of $91 million in its first 3 days. As we continue, Jim, to kick around how the back-end comp is getting dramatically altered right now.
And I know that Scarlett Johansson wasn't that happy with an amazing movie, Black Widow. I don't know if you've seen it.
Nobody came off particularly well in that little back and forth.
No.
She got paid $20 million up right away, and then complaining sort of didn't. And then Disney's response was a little harsh,
Unbelievable.
I don't think.
Callous disregard for the pandemic.
No.
But there's been a lot of analysis on how that deal could have been changed, right?
Right.
Yes.
Deals being done now are accounting for, I think, to a certain extent, the massive change that's taken place in terms of the way these producers of content distribute it, which is not as focused any longer on the theatrical.
And yet, yeah, obviously a lot of deals were made earlier, and you should stick by your deal.
But what does it all mean for AMC? I mean, that
stock's
box office
again.
Number, I know
stock's
it's up again. That box office number was not a great number, certainly not compared to pre-pandemic kinds of
opening
weekends for a major picture with the biggest star out there, right? Dwayne Johnson's probably.
Oh, my, he's so huge. He's amazing.
Yeah.
Smart, cool guy.
Yeah.
His tequila is now my number one seller. Or Cindy.
Terramana.
Really?
It's pretty good.
Number
right?
one seller. Amazing. Just took the whole.
He's got some other thing I see on the Olympics. Is Zoa. What's it called? Some other drink that he's been pushing.
I think. Boom. As I recall, his family might have a history in the spirits business. That's why it's sort of close to his heart.
Yeah, well, they do a great job. AMC up $1.25. Yep. AMC, by the way, very much still a Robin. We've not mentioned Robin Hood.
AMC is a $20 billion market cap company.
Well, there are people who like it very much, and they tend to be concentrated.
But that's not based on any fundamental understanding of their current ability to earn money.
Why do you, I used to think like that, David.
What, and then you changed?
Well, David, the relevance of your view, it's questionable.
Thank you for that. Appreciate it.
We'll get started trading with Jim in a moment. Dow's up almost 250. Let's get to Jim and stop trading.
Well, I mentioned my work with the American Brain Foundation earlier. AbbVie, two different firms, price target raise, absolutely love it. Ubrelvy is a fantastic drug. That's a migraine drug, and they're trying to get that so that it's like Nurtec, where if you feel one coming on, you can take it. Otherwise, what I really like about this is finally Botox, now that the dermatologists are open and people aren't afraid, or at least, weren't afraid for Delta. People are going back to Botox because, boy, they just wrinkle-free skin versus Delta. They'll always go for wrinkles.
You think this company's vulnerable at all in sort of...
To take out?
Not take out, maybe
absolutely.
Activism?
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned that because at 8x earnings, next year's earnings, yes. I don't know how a drug stock sells at 8x earnings and doesn't attract attention from someone who says, well, this is like GlaxoSmithKline. This is undervalued versus... This is much cheaper than GlaxoSmithKline.
Right, and GlaxoSmithKline.
And they've gotten a real
ride. Elliott has obviously taken a large position.
Yes, and they're not happy. This company's gotten a free ride. They bought Allergan. They paid a ton for it. The stock's up, but it yields 4.4. What does that say? The market hates this company. Humira is going to go off patent. They've got these other drugs that are going to make it for them. But this is Pfizer without Pfizer without a shot for...
Without a vaccine.
Yeah, without a vaccine. Which is not great. But I like it. My Chapel Trust owns it, but they're undermanaged. They've got to do something.
20 years of Pfizer hasn't been great either.
No, but how did you know that I was going to go with activists?
Who could say, Carl? Maybe that we spend hours, yeah, our day together.
Yeah, there's a little. Awesome.
Well, I mean, I think it's a Jeopardy question, isn't it? Right?
What?
By the way, is Mad Money going to run at the same time as Jeopardy in some markets? How do you choose?
Oh no, Dog, that can't happen. That can't be allowed.
You can tape David. It was done months ago. Mine's real time. Just go tape David. Go tape David. I mean, honestly. I mean, Newell. Yeah. You can watch Newell or you can watch David. Which would you? Oh, come on, David. It's Rubbermaid for heaven's sake.
It's only half an hour. Can't you just watch the half hour? Then you come back to Mad.
Yeah, there you go. Oh,
yeah.
David crushed him. You know, even I'm going to watch it. Yeah, right. My kids don't know I have a show, so it's not an issue.
Your kids don't know you have a show at night, and your wife doesn't know you have a show in the morning.
No, they just watch Jeopardy. My kids have watched Jeopardy since about when they were six.
It's got a history, man.
Yeah.
We'll see you tonight.
Thank you.
One way
Thank
or another.
You.
Mad Money, 6 p.m. Eastern time. You've been listening to The Opening Bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
You seek the key, but first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system up to a 313-mile range and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.